time to present Scott DuPont to bring you another episode of Finance Your Movie with tips and strategies to help you get your money to tell your story. It's time!
Okay, we're here with another episode of Finance Your Movie, and I've been trying to get a guest like this for several years because a lot of you have been asking about sponsorships, product placement in your different movies. And I'm thrilled today to have Dominic Art Zerny. Is that right? Art Zerny?
Art Zerny.
Art Zerny. Thank you for that. Dominic is an entrepreneur, but most importantly and very, very relevant for today's episode, he is also a product placement and corporate sponsorship expert. So welcome, Dominic.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Great to be with you today.
So we kind of chatted a little bit on email before this, and just kind of a reminder, I don't want the conversation to be about big studio projects, you know, $25, $50, $100 million. They're well established. They've got X number of theater screens locked. They have a couple of big stars locked. I'm talking about independent films. So just to start off, what are some kind of general guidelines and parameters for indie films anywhere between 100,000 and maybe up to 2 million if they're trying to get some kind of money or product, some kind of financial help for their film?
So I think maybe it's best to kind of start with kind of an overview of product placement, looking at both sides kind of generally, and then I can narrow down to like what's relevant to the exact types of projects that you're talking about. One of the biggest misconceptions of product placement is that it's a money game, that brands are throwing around millions and millions of dollars at all levels in terms of fees. But and also even on the production side, that productions, again, of all sizes are trying to attract all this money. And it's very important for everyone to kind of think of it differently. Product placement is more about facilitation and about helping out. A lot of the times the brands, when they're getting involved, what they're trying to do is help the person who's making the film. And that can sometimes take the form of fees, but a lot of time that is just kind of by providing them with free products, which otherwise they would have to buy. And that in itself can obviously be the equivalent of cash.
One
of the big brands we work with. Yeah, one of the big brands we work with is Dell. And I spoke with him specifically about indie films. So I have some like really good info on that. And they, whether it's a Marvel movie or an indie movie, they'll never provide cash. But what they will do at all levels is lend you, you know, some computer monitors, some laptops, maybe you need some brand new tablet. Again, whether you're a $100 million movie or a half a million dollar indie movie, if you don't have someone like that helping you out, then you're going to have to go out and buy that. And that can be hundreds or thousands of dollars. And it's the same across the board. A lot of car companies don't pay fees for the product placement, but they'll provide you with cars maybe to blow up if it's an action movie, or for your hero to drive around a movie of any size. And so it's just important from everyone involved, even like for me, where I do more as the market research, is just to understand that it's not necessarily about bringing in lots of money, but it's about reducing the cost of the production. So in the case of an indie film, I think it is important to understand that it is going to be difficult, not impossible, to actually get a brand to, you know, transfer you a fee to do a product placement. What's much more likely is that you can find a brand that's going to help you reduce your production budget because, for example, well, we've got a car chase and we need this $200,000 car and we don't want to spend, you know, half our budget on it. Well, maybe you contact the right person at the right brand and you pitch to them how you're going to use their car, and maybe they'll lend it or even give it to you. Same with a brand like Dell. Maybe you need to fill an office with a bunch of monitors, but if you've got an inexperienced prop master and they think they have to go out and buy everything, that can be tens of thousands of dollars. Whereas if you know the right person at the brand, you can contact them. And to answer your question, how do you get them to help you out? You need to pitch a movie. You need to convince them that even if it's a small production, there's at least a chance that it is going to get some reach. So that, for example, the best thing, the number one thing I've heard that they can do is obviously sell themselves on distribution. So if they can say that their film has some sort of distribution already figured out in pre-production, then that is a great way to actually reassure the brand that even if they're only giving you the equivalent of a couple of $1,000 in product, that's not going to be money down the drain. If you can say, we have a distribution deal, we're going to get a limited release, and then we're going to be on a streaming service after that, that is going to be a huge boost. The next thing is about then telling them that the context in which their brand is going to appear is going to be correct. A brand like Dell, they want to be seen as, you know, high tech, professional. They like being used in offices by like university professors and stuff like that. And for example, if it's a car brand, you know, a car would much rather be used either if it's a minivan, they want to maybe be seen picking the kids up from school, or if they're more of a sports car brand, they want like the main characters to be seen driving it. Obviously, they don't want, for example, a drunk character to be driving them, or for their car to crash or be seen as unsafe. So a brand really needs to pitch themselves to these brand representatives and say, we think our film will get some reach. Obviously, these people understand that they're taking a risk with an indie film, but they really need to sell themselves and sell the context in which the brands are going to be portrayed.
Excellent. So I wanted that's really, really great information, because I see so many indie filmmakers with just a blank laptop with no logo, and it looks like a student film. I mean, it looks like a clown show. I know exactly why they did it, because they couldn't get Apple or any computer. So it's great to know about Dell. So in that particular case, let's just say $500,000 indie film, and I'm going to have a production office for a few weeks anyway, a few months during pre-production. So I probably need some extra computers. Are you telling me, in addition to actually giving you laptops or computers for the picture, does a filmmaker get to keep a few of those computers? Like, are they just giving a couple $1,000 worth of computers?
So it depends brand by brand. Dell doesn't give them, they lend them. So the person who's in charge of this, his name's Gary Moore. And if anyone, he is very open to helping indie films. So if anyone does have a project that would tick some of these boxes, you can always find him on LinkedIn, and he's open to such things. And he also understands that indie entertainment is a people thing. So maybe you help someone out on an indie film who's just starting. And then maybe in a couple of years down the line, they're on the next Big Bang Theory or the next Wednesday. That's going to be a huge thing. So there is a lot of that. There's a huge human aspect about that. Or maybe even if you contact him, someone like him, and this isn't the right project, but the fact is you actually now know the person down the road who to speak to. So, but to answer your question, in his case, he would so buy internally at Dell the new laptops or whatever the product was that was needed. He would pay to ship that over to the production. He'd let them keep it for a set period of time, and then he would pay to have it shipped back. He doesn't actually give products.
Okay.
But this is just the way Dell works. My understanding is that a company that you mentioned, Apple, for example, they also never pay cash. But what they do is, at least in the past, I've heard some murmurs that this might have changed recently. But in the past, they would give for free the laptops, the computers, whatever's used. And then once the production was done, apparently what was usually done is that it would be auctioned off to the crew, which is obviously a huge kind of a double whammy. On the one hand, they get the good exposure, and that you save on the cost of having to buy all that, then also the people who work on it get some cheap Apple products out of it. So that's one of the reasons why Apple is so big in films in general. Obviously, those are just two competitors who do it a little bit differently. And then, you know, if you're talking about a Samsung or a Lenovo, I don't know exactly. So every brand's a bit different on how they do things. There is a chance that you'll be able to keep it, and in some cases, they will want it back.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dominic, for sharing Gary's name. That's going to be very valuable to somebody setting up a college classroom scene or an office scene. I mean, you just wiped out a nice portion of your production budget there. So let's go to cars a little bit, because oftentimes indie filmmakers are looking to maybe have a high-end luxury car, whether it's a BMW, Mercedes, a Rolls, whatever. And at the end of the day, the filmmaker is going to have to pay an exotic rental company hundreds, probably thousands of dollars if it's a week or two of shooting, plus the insurance, all that stuff. So tell me how that works.
So cars, again, that most of the big brands that we all see on screen, they have either an agency, but most of the time they have people whose job it is to get their vehicles into productions. Obviously, they are more focused on the big productions. But once again, if you can sell your project of this would be a great fit, this person's shown to be like a great to drive cars really safely and really fast, and he's seen as like aspirational in this. So ideally you want to get in touch with those people. Obviously in the case of an indie film, they're not going to be giving them a bunch of the cars, but what you can do is, as you say, you could save on those thousands and thousands of dollars a day in rental fees. And a lot of the time they'll have a network of people. So maybe you're shooting in just randomly like Indiana or whatever, and the person will say, listen, I'm not going to pay thousands to ship you this over there, but we have a local dealership that we sometimes work with, and I'll make a call and like they can help you out. And again, the very important thing here is who you know. So the big thing, for example, with phones or beers or stuff like that will be the prop master. So the person who's in charge of making sure people have laptops to work on, beer to drink. Or if you want something like clothes, you need to have a really good, obviously, costume designer. And I think with cars, a lot of the time it'll be the stunt coordinator. And so an interesting thing when you are putting together your production team, like all the people there, is to have someone that is well connected. So, for example, a prop master who knows that they already have all these connections made, that can be super invaluable. And not necessarily someone, especially if they're starting out, might think of. So for something like the cars, whoever the job it is on a set to get that, if they say, oh, I already, and you're doing exactly like you said, a luxury car is what you want, you want to ask them, have you got any experience getting a luxury car like a Mercedes or a Ferrari or a BMW on set? And, you know, if the people are kind of oblivious, then maybe that's something to take into consideration. But if they say, oh, I know a guy, that's the key, is always that you want to know a guy or a woman at either the brands or the agencies, because there's a whole world of agencies that act as a go-between between the productions and the brands.
You just brought up a good thing, and this is great advice to any indie film producer out there as they're going through the hiring process. What you just said, Dominic, when you're hiring a prop master, you know you're going to need a lot of expensive, fancy props. Why not ask that question? Do you have any contacts to get laptops or computers? Same thing with anyone you're hiring in terms of you needing cars. So if you're bringing in an AD or a stunt guy or one of the camera crew, ask, do you have any connections to get cars? Not a bad question to ask. Absolutely. So I want to shift gears a little bit. And this is a little bit out of your wheelhouse, but with all your knowledge and your resume, I'm sure you can give some sound advice here. So let's just say that the indie producer is smart enough to realize, for most of the scenarios that you laid out for us, what the process is, but they're most likely not going to get cold, hard cash. What is your advice if someone wants to reach out to like a local restaurant or a tiny startup company that just really is thriving for exposure? Is there a chance in those scenarios to get like, you know, 10,000 cash for some great exposure for potentially thousands of viewers for an indie film?
So it's funny, I get your thing that it was a bit out of my wheelhouse, but actually this focuses much more on what I actually do, and I'll explain how. The biggest thing that we provide at Concave Brand Tracking is we measure everything we're talking about. And so we measure how long that car is on screen, how prominent it is, and then we factor in the cost of advertising and the number of people who are seeing the project, again, whether it's in the hundreds of thousands or the hundreds of millions. And we then report to all these brands, the Dells, the Budweisers, the Ray-Bans, and we tell them this was worth X, usually in the millions of dollars. So coming back to the scenario that you talked about, I think that the best way to convince someone would be to say, if you give us $5,000 to really help get this project off the ground, there's a chance that it will, you know, again, if you can say we've got distribution, we think it'll get a few hundred thousand views there, or it'll get a couple of million, and you could use a service like ours. And our service can start at a very cheap point, even like as little as $100, just to do a one-off valuation. And you can basically use data like that and say you might get 50 to 100,000, maybe even millions of dollars worth of advertising if this movie like takes off. A perfect example, obviously it helps that Jordan Peele was very famous before, but Get Out was a fairly small independent movie. And they have clear product placement of the Lincoln car that they drive, which is probably exactly a scenario that we talked about before, or the Microsoft phones that they use throughout. Obviously, those are big brands, but those brands got tens of millions of dollars in exposure for that. And again, that's an extreme. But if you are, for example, a local real estate company or a local diner or a local brewery is a perfect example with like alcohol and stuff, you could tell them, we need some cash to get this project off the ground, but we really want all of our characters to drink your brand of beer. And it is always a bit of a gamble, as in most investments. Maybe the project doesn't end up getting picked up and those couple of grand go down the drain, or maybe you get $500,000 worth of advertising value. So what I would say is to always, as the production company trying to sell it to these local companies, is to always say that the amount of exposure they could get could be absolutely huge. And to give examples, like, I can't remember the name, but I know in the King of Staten Island, the Pete Davidson film, it was very random, but the Bill Burr character was wearing a polo shirt from a local real estate company. And that actually made it, because he wore it for 3 or 4 minutes in a scene and it's visible the whole time, that ended up making our top 100 brands of the year, like beating out loads of household names, because it was worn by a character in a scene in an indie film that did quite well.
Wow.
So that's the potential.
So that's really a brilliant, everything you said right there. So, because if you're an indie filmmaker and you hire an expert like you, and you can put together data and do that research, I mean, that to me makes a lot of sense, where a local real estate company, a restaurant, a startup company that's making some widget in Wichita, Kansas, they wouldn't have that kind of opportunity to get that exposure for such, and you know, we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars that could be worth millions of dollars of advertising. Now,
at all levels, product placement, the thing, because of the thing that I started with about saying that the amount of money going in is a lot lower than what people think. People think that when you're seeing Adele or Budweiser, they're paying millions of dollars, but a lot of times they're not paying anything, or they're paying very small fees, and then they're getting millions of dollars in return. And that's the number one selling point about product placement at all levels, whether you're a multinational conglomerate or, as you say, you're a local startup, is that you can get a huge ROI. You can get millions of dollars in value from just a few thousand dollars of investment. And that's just always what the production company, the agencies, they need to kind of always reinforce that, because most people don't know it.
So in that scenario you're talking about, where you do this analysis and breakdown, give ammunition to the filmmaker, do you then reach out to the company, or do they have that data, you give them some advice and tips and they reach out, or is it a combination of both?
So most of my business is these brands that I've talked about. They come to me at a particular time and they say, we've done these placements this year. We don't want to have to go through it and literally count every second, but also we don't know how to then quantify that. So we go through it. We say, this car got 1.5 minutes of screen time. This show got X million of viewers. We know that advertising costs this much. As such, we tell them this placement was worth that much. And so on a one film, one placement, we can do that for as little as like $200. But the other thing that we can provide looking forward in pre-production is someone can come to us and say, we need a car brand and we want to try and get people's attention. So we're pitching this. That car is probably going to get 5 minutes of screen time throughout the film, we think, 5 to 7 minutes. We think that based on our distribution deal, we might manage to get 1 or 2 million views in the first year or more, but an idea of that. And then we can put together an estimate of how much that would be worth in that particular production. So that would then arm them with, based on this estimate from this independent company, this placement could be worth, based on, obviously the estimates of the screen time and the reach, this could be worth $200,000 or $300,000. What we need from you is for you to lend us this car, which obviously to the car company, lending you something is a minimal cost to them. So it's all about making it worth their while than just speaking to them with these numbers that they'll understand. So ROI, media exposure, and all that sorts of thing. And then ultimately there is just the glamour of it. Obviously, the head of marketing BMW USA doesn't really care about that. But for example, if you're trying to get a BMW in your local area, maybe you say that the plaque of the dealership is going to stay on the front, as they often have. And that just gives them, on top of giving BMW the exposure, it gives the local dealership some exposure too. Because even if that's going to be minimal and most people aren't going to recognize it, people love being in movies at all levels. they'll be able to say forever, like, oh, we gave them that car that was in that. And that's just fun and cool. And brands like Dell say, on top of all the things I've talked about, it's just great for people who work at the company to see their products in the films.
Yeah, and I would think in some cases, I don't want to give a false hope or promise to our audience here. In a situation like that with a local BMW dealership, if you had all the data so the local person can understand, hey, we could potentially get 1 million views, it's an indie film, and we're showing the local, you know, North Canton, Ohio BMW dealership, they might even pay a little bit. Because a lot of those dealerships have a local marketing budget. I mean, they're running local commercials all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And what some of the stuff I've said about people not necessarily like knowing how product placement works, you can use that to your advantage. Like the local head of the dealership there, they might think that product placement, you know, you go to them and you suggest this, like, oh, we'd like a bit. And they say, well, I can't just give you like $100,000 for this, which would be a huge fee even for a, you know, a Marvel movie or something. But they say, well, you know what, we'll keep it small and we'll say like $5,000 and you lend us the car, that would be enough. And again, you've got to take advantage of the fact that like people don't necessarily understand how everything works, and they'll still get a great deal out of it. But yeah, there's always an opportunity. And again, people just love movies and they love being in movies. So you always just need to kind of angle that into it. Use the glamour.
Either way, your strategies that you laid out today are a win-win for the indie filmmaker, because what I always say is the quickest and easiest dollar to raise is the dollar you don't spend. So either you save a couple $1,000 on computers or cars or something, that's money you don't have to raise, or you might get lucky and get $5,000-$10,000 from a local company or a startup.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that philosophy, it isn't just for indie movies. Like, people work at every level, like agencies are brought in, and their job is not to try and bring in millions in fees. It's just to reduce the costs at every level. You know, even crazy things, like there's an agency that I work called Stone Management. They just had an article about them in the Hollywood Reporter. And the thing that they're known for is being able to get military vehicles very quickly. So, you know, obviously here we're talking about bigger productions, but you know, you need an personnel carrier or you need a helicopter on set in like 5 days. They just, again, going back to the networking, they just know the right people to ask about it. And obviously they're not asking them for fees from the people who make those, but they understand all the things that we've talked about how they like their products being there. They know that the right people will see that film. And it just, the job is always, from the studio's point of view, product placement is a cost reduction activity rather than an income generator.
So Dominic, so I just want to ask about that military thing. So let's just say an indie film, $1 million budget, they want to get some military vehicles and stuff like that. Obviously they wouldn't probably be able to ship them a bunch of military vehicles for free, but if they lived anywhere near an army base or near where a US military operation was in place, the agency, or you could work with that agency to maybe help get the approvals and permission and work in cooperation for very little, or maybe access for in a few scenes.
Yeah. So I've heard stories about this, but I haven't been directly involved. My guess is you would, exactly like you say, if you're close to a military base, your best shot is to treat them just like we were talking before about the dealership, of saying, I'm shooting the scene. It's about this Marine who comes back from Afghanistan, and he's like, basically, you know, sell them on the stuff, you know, they want to hear, and basically convince them that to let you use, you know, some Hummers or whatever in the background. And yeah, I think if you can probably do that on a one, you can probably do that directly, because once again, it is all about finding the right person to talk to. And, you know, maybe 8 out of 10 times you'll be laughed off the phone and they'll hang up on you. But the fact is, you talk to that wrong person who's like, oh yeah, like they did in Top Gun in a bigger thing, like we'd love to do that. And again, maybe you say stuff like, well, maybe if you guys are off duty, we can kind of use you in the background for like a couple of shots, because, or maybe even ask, oh, if you got some expertise, you could hand it in, like, you know, schmooze a little bit. But yeah, it is, because it's not something that you can rent. It's not like you can rent properly military like Hummers or things like that. So you do need to have a connection. And especially for an indie film, like, again, as you say, you just want to reduce your costs as much as possible. So yeah, I would always encourage to use all of the tips and the angles that we've talked about today and basically try and incentivize them to help you out.
Excellent. So if somebody listening right now, they're getting ready to start their film, they're in pre-production, what's the best way people can contact you or reach out to you?
So my website, so my company is Concave Brand Tracking. Our website is www.concavebt.com. You can find me directly on LinkedIn. So that's Dominic Arcioni. You'll probably want to check the spelling in the description for the podcast. But yeah, I can always be contacted on there or just directly at my email, which is dominic.arcioni@concavebt.com. And we also have a YouTube channel, which is just Concave Brand Tracking on YouTube, and a Twitter account, Concave BT, where you can see lots of our research. We put lots of stuff out about like the top 10 brands in, like, for example, in Top Gun Maverick. We did that last year. We've got a video about that as well. And we're actually very soon, in the next week or so, we're going to be publishing our top 100 brands from 2022. So anyone who's interested to see stuff like that, we're always a great resource. But yeah, any questions, even if it's not something relating directly to what we do, I'm always happy to help people out, point them in the direction of brands that I work with, or even the agencies who act as go-betweens. And everyone, honestly, in the industry, it's a very tight-knit industry where a lot of people know each other and everyone just wants to help each other out. These brands, they want indie films to succeed because they understand that all great filmmakers start there. They want to encourage them, they want to help them, they want to build relationships. So yeah, everyone's willing to help each other, and I'm one of those people. So yeah, any questions about this, I'm always happy to help.
Awesome. That's very generous of you, Dominic. And that's Concave BT, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. We'll put that specific website and everything in the show notes, so you can just follow it there. Thank you so much for doing this show. I really appreciate it. Any parting words of advice?
You've always just kind of got to sell the brand in the same way you're selling your movie to investors, and just convince them that people are going to watch it, the movie's going to be successful, but also sell yourself. As I said, if you're the prop master or the director or the producer, maybe be like, I know this is a small movie, but you need to know that this is a stepping stone. And if you help me out now, I will remember this, and I'll help, you know, when I'm making a bigger movie or a bigger TV show, you will be my first port of call. Because, and it goes both ways. Sometimes when you're more experienced, there are going to be brand people who know you, who they know that film is going to do too well, but you've done them a solid by putting them in some huge Netflix shows the year before. So they may even give you a fee when it doesn't even make that much sense for that particular thing. So always think broadly, always think about the long game, and always just sell them on the long-term effects of product placement.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Dominic. Really appreciate all your wise words of wisdom. For everyone else, we will catch you next week.
Thanks for listening. And remember, it's time!
There's never been a better time to make your own indie film. And if you have a dream project you're excited about and 100% committed to getting it funded, go to financeyourmovie.com and click on the green telephone button. You'll see our calendar, and if you find an open spot, grab it. You'll get a one-on-one call with me or one of my partners. It will be the best hour you've ever spent getting clarity and strategy towards financing your movie. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.